Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To talk about a very interesting weekend of football, what the Niners did during the bye week, Mr. Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker, joins us once again here on Damon and Ratto. Thanks, Michael. How are you, pal?
Dude, man, listen, I was just sitting here messing around on my podcast and talking about the same thing that you just mentioned. I talked about the great ability we see in the NFL of overcoming. And we got a chance to witness it in quite a few teams last week. You just talked about the Cards. They had to overcome not having their head coach. And they showed up and showed out. I mean, and this head coach got this job to put this offense in. He's the only one been calling plays. And so that's a big obstacle for them to overcome. The Raiders overcoming all that they had to deal with all week long with the John Gruden situation and coming together and winning that game against the Broncos. They had to overcome all of that. You know they're emotionally exhausted dealing with all of the stuff that they had to deal with all week and then show up and win that game. And even the Jags, after dealing with all of the Urban Meyer stuff in the press and not getting on the airplane and the bar situation, go all the way over to London and get their first win. Those are great examples that we can pull out of the NFL that we can think about this week when we're going up against tough things and say, if they can overcome, so can I. Just a little something else to put in your pouch to help you beat the day.
Maybe the most interesting team, though, is not Arizona, but Dallas.
Because they had to overcome some things, too. And let me just drop on that, too. I was trying to give you that late, but I'm going to give it to you now because it was important for the Cowboys to go in and get a dirty win like that. And it was important to go get that dirty win against that team. That team right there had beaten the Cowboys six times in a row. The team wears red, white, and blue. The team's called Pats and Patriots. And everybody for the last 20 years since I won a Super Bowl has been talking about, well, aren't the Pats America's team now? They've been trying to snatch that moniker off the Cowboys' back and put it on the Patriots. Well, last night was about the Cowboys overcoming all of that and saying no more. And I like that they overcame it and the way they overcame it. That was a dirty game, a grind-out grit game, and they found a way to win that game. That says a lot about that football team. It's not about just skill. That shows me some will that's in this football team and togetherness and connectivity.
So you can only watch one team, and your choices are Arizona or Dallas, and you can't say Dallas because you used to play there. Who is the most entertaining team in football, and those are your two choices?
Well, that's a great question because both of those teams are exciting for different reasons. You know, what Kyler Murray brings to Arizona is insane and incredible and so exciting and explosive. But the number of players the Cowboys have that can make plays and Dak Prescott's ability to be masterful at that quarterback position and spread that ball around and make you defend every blade of grass is also tantamount and equally as incredible. I mean, you can't lose with either one of them. But where I say the edge will go is the Cowboys have an ability to make you defend every blade because they can win a game if they had the power run with Zeke or if they had to try to get on the outside with Pollard. Now Arizona is a great football team and they're starting to find that running game right now, you know, we're using Connor and Edmonds and all of those guys. But they don't have quite the running game the Dallas Cowboys have right now.
Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. So Josh Jacobs return, and he is serviceable to say the least. Kenyon Drake comes off the back of the milk carton to score two touchdowns for the Raiders, who's got they got Derek Carr out there just basically winging it wherever he needs to. He doesn't even have a coach calling plays for him anymore. If I'm him, I'm drawing up my own stuff with bottle caps and paper clips in the huddle right now. And he's got four 300-yard passing games already this season. Derek Carr needs to be in anybody's way too early to have it, but let's do it because we're on the radio. MVP discussion. I know that there are bigger, brighter spotlights on other players, but Derek Carr,
yeah,
when you factor in what the week just was, that's amazing.
Yeah, for him to show up and play like that, that is amazing. And what one thing you should watch, Dito, anytime, if Derek Carr and Ruggs shows up, they win the game. That's it. If you see just a few big plays out of Derek Carr and Ruggs, the game is won. You know, so I like to tell people, you got to have your primary. And their primary is Darren Waller and the run game and Jacobs. That's what they're going to do. And Darren Waller is a bad man. He's the man. But if you can get that next dude that's going to make plays consistently, then you can get somewhere. And that's why I like the Raiders early on, because Ruggs was making those plays consistently. Then they kind of fell off a game or two there, you know. But we saw it pop back in again last week. We talk about the Packers. Like, I like the Packers, but okay, it worked out yesterday because they got some good running.
And they're playing the Bears, and all Aaron Rodgers done is beat the Bears.
Right, so there was no points being made that you got to come back and catch. But what is the Packers going to do when somebody says, beat us with somebody else besides Devontae Adams? And Lazard and them, they don't make enough plays. Aaron Jones was the second receiver yesterday, and Randall Cobb didn't make any catch. Who is that other guy? And that's what Arizona, they do have that other guy. And I like teams that have that other guy.
The Raiders also went through a boatload of turmoil in the last week. And maybe they did what they did yesterday just on fumes. But do you think in the longer term that what they went through is going to wear on them as time goes on? Not because people keep reminding them of it, but because they went into this season with one coach, you know, and one set of priorities. Now you've got a whole different coach with a whole different set of priorities. How long does the good feeling from a coaching change last?
But you say a good feeling from a coaching change is because it usually happens when a coach needed changing. I don't know that those guys in the locker room felt like, you know, that coach needed changing, you know, prior to all this stuff coming out. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like they're saying, man, we needed a change. You know, prior to all this stuff coming out, they were comfortable with Coach Gruden. So that I think they would have to look at it as, you know, like what I thought they looked at it yesterday. Basically, how do I use this pain to push me to a promise, a great promise? This great pain to push me to a great promise. And what I thought they were saying yesterday with that play, the way they played is, we love them and I understand we love Coach Gruden, but that's not us. Don't lump us in there with all of that. This is who we are right here, and we're showing up on the field to show you who we are. I thought they had some of that in there. You know what I mean? I thought they were also saying, we got our coach. And trying to play for the coach they have, because right now what they're doing is closing in. They're closing in as family. And when you feel like everybody is against you, it makes you turn to those that are close to you to try and close in more. And that's how they're feeling. And it showed up yesterday on the football field.
Michael Irvin with us here on 95.7 The Game. And look, you're a football lifer. You owe an awful lot of you know, your world to the game of football, and I know that you love it. I know that you love the NFL. But a lot of people who love the NFL don't understand the brutality that goes into how the sausage is made, and sometimes that comes with a whole cast of characters saying things that are not to be said. And I'm guessing that there was a huge media reaction, and obviously there was, to everything that happened in the emails. How many players were stunned by all of that, with the disgusting language that came out, the disparaging feelings about, you know, men of color by people in power of the NFL? Did any of that surprise you, or are you looking at this whole thing going, par for the course, I know about this?
Well, when anything's said maliciously, it's something different. Now, there are a lot of things that we have said in the locker room in our little way of joking towards each other, one to another. You know, our little locker room things. Now, and that's just having fun, you know. And it's certainly not anywhere in the area that Coach Gruden and all of the emails were coming out and any of those things. But we joke around and mess with each other all the time, you know what I mean? So sometimes I hear things outside and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe this. What do you think the guys in the locker room are saying? And I'm like, I don't know that the guys are really paying much attention to things like this, you know, or things like that, or things like that. But something like this, you got to pay attention to. And if you're in a locker room, what you have to do now is make sure that you're not getting pockets of people having conversations over them over there, a pocket of people having conversations over there, a pocket of people having conversations over there, because that means you're bringing your football team is being divided. So that's why you got to put this out in the open and talk about it and make sure that everybody understands this is where we are. This is where we are, and this is not going to destroy us. Well, whatever happens with everybody out there, that's on the outside. But in this locker room, this is, we know who we are. We know where we are. Let's go get done what we have to get done.
What do you expect to learn in a long-lasting way from tonight's game with Buffalo and Tennessee?
Well, this is what I'm trying to learn from Buffalo and what I'm trying to learn from Tennessee. Buffalo's now top dog in the hunt. I'm top dog. Right now in the AFC, everybody's coming after Buffalo. It's one thing to put your cleats on and start climbing that grass mountain, going all the way up. It's another when you land on the top of that mountain and you're looking down instead of looking up on the climb. You're looking down at all the other people that are climbing after you, and that's what Buffalo is in right now, especially with what we're seeing with Kansas City. Right now, Buffalo's top team. How do you win games now? How do you let Tennessee? Here's a team that wants to run the ball, a physical football team. How do you meet and beat this challenge that you are about to have right here, right now? That's what I'm looking out for Buffalo. And I want to see Tennessee show us, yes, yes, we got the talent in that big Motar, Derrick Henry, and Arthur Warren, A.J. Brown, and this boy Julio Jones that we have. We got the talent, and now we want to show you we deserve to be one of the best teams in the AFC. You're going to get an answer to one of their questions tonight.
We want to ask you about the 49ers, what they need to do to find an identity during a bye week, if you even can do that during a bye week. We want to ask you about the Colts. But before we get off everything that happened, we cannot skip over Lamar Jackson. Did you ever have doubts about him as a passer? Was that just the media trying to get way too analytical and try to convince them that they're not looking at a total badass of a player? Because it's like he has been answering all the critics in just these last handful of performances. Lamar Jackson is the ultimate one-man army. We used to say Donovan McNabb, one-man army with the Eagles. This guy and John Harbaugh are probably the best coach quarterback combination we don't talk about almost ever.
Yeah, and as you said, a one man army, because nobody does what he does. You can say, I don't understand how the way this dude is running with this football sometimes, and there's nothing there, and he still makes something happen. That blows my mind. I just tell you the kind of talent he is. And to answer your question, yes, I did have doubts that he could ever develop until the passer that we're seeing right now. And yes, we still have a small sample of him being able to sit in that pocket and make some of the plays that he's made. And I also want to bring up the point that a lot of those throws he's making, his receivers are wide open. I understand why, because they got such a great run game. That's another thing we're not talking about. We're talking about all the teams. You know, you saw Cleveland as banged up as they get. Baltimore has lost a lot of players, too. And he keeps that team afloat, even though they've lost all those running backs. I don't know what set of running backs they're on right now, the 20th set of running backs, and they still just keep churning it out. You know what I mean? All of it, because he is the most important player, one player, to his team in the National Football League. I don't care what you say. You take him off that team, it's hard for them to find wins. You could take any other one quarterback off a team, they can still find some wins. But Baltimore is a whole different situation.
What do you make of the Rams at this point? I mean, they beat a bad team yesterday. They've beaten a fair number of them. Do they seem like genuine contenders to you, or are you still waiting for them to hit another gear?
Right now, I need to see one more gear out of them. I think they're right there on the edge of being those contenders, but the matchup has to be right. You know, they beat Tampa. That was a good matchup for them to beat Tampa, but they couldn't beat Arizona. You know, you get Tampa because Tom is right there, but Arizona, Kyler Murray is moving around too much, you know, and causing too much havoc. So when you're one of the top teams, I don't have to start breaking down matchups for you to get wins. Win like you're supposed to. You're supposed to beat them like you beat them. That's the Giants beat them. But when you're playing top teams, I don't want to just say you're going to win because the matchup is right. I want to say you're going to win because you are right. And right now, I will be picking the Rams on the matchup that they have and make sure the matchup is right if I want to pick them to win.
Michael, knowing all that you know about the 49ers, what do you think they were working on the most during the bye week?
Trey Lance, the most important thing is to continue getting him ready. That's that. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. We're already at that place because this is what they got him for, because they said, okay, we got to prepare for the future, and we don't know if Jimmy G will stay healthy. All of that has been realized right now. Absolutely, that's been their focus this offseason, this off week.
So the Colts have used an on-field bye week against the Houston Texans to start looking like they're pretty good. And that doesn't look like the winnable game it might have looked like when the schedule came out for the 49ers now. What do you think of Sunday Night Football, 49ers and Colts this weekend?
And that's going to be a good game. That is going to be a great game. I like the Colts. I like what I see with the Colts. I like that they got a young, talented football team, man. I mean, Pickman, Taylor, they have a lot of young, and Wentz looks pretty good right now. Wentz is playing pretty good. That's going to be a matchup. I'm going to need San Francisco to get back to the defense that they played dominating people. I'm sure that's what coach has been waiting on. He's hoping on that defense to get back dominating while he continues to maneuver and manipulate and work with this quarterback situation on offense. That's what had to happen to San Fran. That defense has to get back to where they were.
In all your playing days, was a bye week for you just a week to rest your body, or did you feel it an opportunity to circle the wagons around a team's problems and really change the trajectory of a season? What was the bye week for you as a player? Might have been a little fun too, right?
A little bit, all of it, right? I want a little bit, all of it. You know, those first few days. Oh yeah, yeah. Trust me, it's about really saying goodbye to the sick game full of it. I'm gonna go goodbye. I'm gonna just say goodbye for a day and a half. I'm gonna go over here. We're gonna be, you know, I'm gonna go have a good time, have some laughs, have some drinks, and forget about it. But then after those first few days, because no matter, you can't get away from it. And Jimmy's always ringing in my head. Each day you get better or you get worse. Any day you choose not to do anything, you just chose to get worse because somebody else got better. So even in off week, every morning that rings in my head. So I have to take the first day or so to try to have a good time. But by that third day, that's all that's ringing in my head. So you get right back to work. And you, I usually got back to work on the first two teams we had coming up off the bye week. I started looking at the film of those first two teams, just trying to pick up some little extra pointers.
Always great to talk with you. Always great to hear your extra pointers as we get ready for another football weekend. Michael, thank you as always.
Doug, it's always great to talk with you guys, man. Listen, it's just, and I'm just saying, we're midweek. Just think through that, folks. Whatever you've been dealing with, it's overcome week. It's just overcome it and keep it moving.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.